This is the lecture for May 1993. The title of this lecture is, Did Christ Die in His Sins? First, I want you to notice again the title of this lecture, Did Christ Die in His Sins? Now, some might object to this title from the very beginning, because if there's anything clear in the teaching of the New Testament, in all areas of its doctrinal discourses, is the fact that Christ never sinned once. For example, read 1 Peter chapter 2, in verses 21 through 22, we have the clear statement by the Apostle Peter that Christ never sinned once. And by the way, that is absolutely the case. It says here in verse 21, For even hereunto were you called, Peter was talking to the readers of this epistle of his, and they were Christians at the time, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow, or you should follow in his steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Now, Christ, you see, never sinned once. And I'll tell you the reason he didn't sin is because of who he was. He was the Son of the living God. He was the Father's firstborn. He was a member of the very family of God. And when he came into the earth, he came in with rules and regulations to give. He was the one who made up the laws with the Father. And the laws that he made up, he can change those laws if he wants to. You cannot accord sin to the lawmakers in any way, shape, or form. And in fact, Christ Jesus was morally upright and ethically upright in everything that he did. We know that. But still at the same time, he was legally sinless. He never sinned once in his life. If that is the case, then how can this title even be justified? Did Christ die in his sins? Some people might say, well, he died in our sins, but did he die in his sins? The fact is, when you look at it very carefully, you will find out that he did die in his sins. Because the sins that he had on him when he died were his in the sense that he had adopted them to him. They were our sins, all right. They were the sins of the world, all right. But they became his sins. And we can see that clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. The Apostle Paul talked about in this whole section here of how humanity has been redeemed from sin, has been redeemed from death, and all of that through the death of Christ on the tree of crucifixion, and that how in the future Christ Jesus' death will be affected for every single one of us, and we will not have to go through the death that he went through. Not our own deaths, but the death that he went through. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, For he, that is Christ, I beg your pardon, in God in this sense, For he, God, has made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Now there it is again. Paul said Christ knew no sin, but we also find that God the Father made him to be sin. He made him to be the very embodiment of sin, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was made to be sin, and he knew no sin. That's quite true. He had no sins at all on him. But when God made him to be sin, he made him to be sin for us. That's what it says. And he, that we might be made righteousness, the righteousness of God in him. So we know that Christ himself did not sin, but when he took upon himself our sins and the sins of the entire world, and that's what it says back in verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us, as Christians, the word of reconciliation. So when you really look at the life of Christ, he came here on this earth in order to be a sinner. Not that he was a sinner, but he assumed our sins and the sins of the entire world. Martin Luther, in his commentary on Christ Jesus in various phases of his life, and particularly that time when he was on the tree of crucifixion, he sums it up this way, and he was one of the fathers of the Reformation, and we all know that, and not that he was right in everything that he said, but in regard to Christ on the tree of crucifixion, Martin Luther, and I'm paraphrasing him, said that he was the most disdainful, most heinous, most awful person who had ever lived on earth at the time he was bearing those sins. Because, you see, that is, in the eyes of the Father. That means his own Son, who was of himself sinless, but at the same time, because he was made to be the very embodiment of sin, for us, he took our sins upon him and the sins of the entire world. He had far more sins upon him when he died than you and I will have on us when we die. Now, the Apostle Paul even called himself the chiefest of sinners. And he put that in the present tense, by the way. But in saying that he was the chiefest of sinners, the Apostle Paul full well knew that he could in no way compare to the condition of sin that Christ inherited by taking the sins of the whole world upon himself. Now, the world, you see, it doesn't only mean of one generation. It means from the very beginning of Adam and Eve and all the way through to the time of Christ and beyond the time of Christ into our period right now. And beyond that, until all future time, that human beings, Homo sapiens, are born into this world. If they are children of Adam, then it's going to be the second Adam, who was Christ, the last Adam, is another way of looking at him, who will reconcile us to the Father. Now, in him becoming a sinner for us, it means that Christ died in his sins. That's right. He assumed those sins. He was made the very embodiment of sin. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Now, most scholars know this, that is, theologians. I mean, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said. I wish that we or they would begin to apply the full meaning of what that actually signifies, because it's a very profound and important concept that we need to understand. Particularly so because there are many people in the world who say that if individuals today, let's say that they know of Christ and they know of the gospel, but they turn it down and they do not accept him, they do not repent of their sins, they do not accept the conditions, so they say, of Christ. Now this is according to them. They do not express faith and confession of sins and repentance and things like that, and they die in their sins. People are prone to say, even ministers, that if that is the condition of any individual, be it a woman or a man or even a boy or girl who happens to be of the age of accountability, that those individuals there, if they die in their sins, that they are lost forever because, you see, they died as sinners. And God will not resurrect those who die in their sins. How many times have you probably heard that, even from the pulpit? Well, I have many times. But I'll tell you this, that is not the case as far as Christ is concerned. Because, you know, when he died on the tree of crucifixion, he died in those sins that he had inherited. Those sins of yours, those of mine, those of all the rest of the world put together, including those of Adam and Eve. He died with all of those sins on his back. And, you know, not once do we find anywhere in the gospel, anywhere, that he ever repented of those sins which he had inherited. He died in those sins. He died in his sins. He died for us. He died as a sinner. Now, the interesting thing about all of this is that 3 days and three nights later, God the Father resurrected Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, from the dead. And he was so pleased with what he did some 3 days previous to that, that he took him right past the judgment seat and right up to his own throne and sat him down on the right side of himself and said, "This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased." In other words, he exalted him back to the same position that he had had before. And there was one difference. This time, Jesus Christ had come triumphantly, having rescued all of the world to himself. That is what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. He reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's right, because they were imputed to Christ Jesus. And when he died on the tree of crucifixion, all of the sins that God held against any person here on earth, all the way back to Adam, and all the way up, including the time when Paul was here on earth, and including our time today, all of the actions of mankind that God had against mankind and all of that were wrapped up satisfactorily as far as God the Father was concerned when Jesus Christ died on the tree of crucifixion. He died in his sins. He did not die a sinless person. If he died a sinless person, if sins were not really handled at that time, that is dealt with according to law that we have in the Old Testament and in the New, made by God himself, I'm talking about the Father, then this means that you and I are still in our sins. And if we die in our sins without someone having dealt with those sins effectively,